I'm going to start from the bottom of Mem Beis Amud Beis, 11 lines from the bottom, the end of the line. So Gemara says, Amar Rav, Hilchasa Kerabin Gamliel Bedir Visahar Usfina, Ushmuel Amar Hilchasa Kerabin Gamliel Bisfina Avo Bedir Visahar Lo, Dechule Alma Mias Halacha Kerabin Gamliel Bisfina My Time. And the Gemara is alluding to something that it spent a lot of time talking about in the previous part of the Gemara, which is this machlokes in the Mishnah between Rabban Gamliel and Rabbi Yehoshua, between Rabban Gamliel and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah on the one hand, and Rabbi Yehoshua and Rabbi Akiva on the other, regarding how far, if at all, is a person allowed to walk in certain enclosed areas on Shabbos, assuming that they were there when Shabbos began or were not there, depending on the case. So the Gemara has kind of a detailed machlokes about to what degree do we paskin like Rabban Gamliel. So everyone seems to agree that when it comes to a boat, we certainly paskin like Rabban Gamliel. What does that mean practically? So that means if a person finds themselves on a boat on Shabbos, everyone would seem to agree that according to Rabban Gamliel, you would be allowed to walk up and down the entirety of the boat. Now, when it comes to something like what's called a dir v'sahar, to a pen, a stable, an animal barn, something like that, that's a machlokas between Rav and Shmuel, whether we also paskin like Rabban Gamliel there, or whether we're going to insist that you restrict your movement to only four amos. But either way, the Gemara says it's clear that we paskin like Rabban Gamliel regarding a boat, that we allow you to walk up and down the entire boat. And the question is, what is the source for that halacha? So says the Gemara, Amar Rabba, Ho'ol v'shavas va'avir mechitzos mi ba'od yom. Rabba gives a very straightforward answer. Since you were in the boat when Shabbos began, and the boat has walls that surround it, those walls effectively act as mechitzos, and they enable you to walk up and down the entire boat. However, Rabbi Zera Amar, Ha'olu Sfina Notalto Mitrilas Arba Umanachto Besof Arba. Rabbi Zera gives a different logic. Rabbi Zera says the reason why a person is allowed to walk up and down in the entirety of the boat on Shabbos without a problem is because if you think about it, when a boat is moving, so by definition, a person cannot really be, you know, stationary when a boat is moving. Even if you wanted to restrict your movement to only four amos, you couldn't really do that when the boat is moving. As the boat is moving, it's going to toss you around, it's going to move you around. So according to Rabbi Zera, even if you wanted to stay put, you couldn't do so, and therefore the whole notion of restricting your movement to four amos doesn't make sense when it comes to a boat. So the Gemara wants to know, my benayu, at the end of the day, both Rabba and Rabbi Zera agree that we paskin like Rabban Gamliel, that we allow you to walk up and down the entirety of the boat on Shabbos, so who cares if the reason is because I was there when Shabbos began, or because the boat's going to toss me around, what's the difference? So says the Gemara, Ika benayu shenifchesu dofnei sfin. The Gemara gives two potential nafkaminas. One is if the walls of the boat collapse, or the walls of the boat are no longer qualified as a valid mechitza. If that happens, so then according to Rabbah, you no longer have that heter to walk around. You don't have those walls to rely on anymore. Whereas according to Rabbi Zera, you would still be allowed to walk around. Whereas the second nafkamina the Gemara says is, let's say a person jumps from one boat to another. So again, according to Rabbah, that's not going to help you, because according to Rabbah, the only time you're allowed to walk around the entire boat is if that was the boat you were on when Shabbos began. But according to Rabbi Zera, it's not about the boat you were on, it's just about being on a boat in general, because boats toss you around. You can never be stationary when the boat is moving anyway, so it really makes no difference, according to Rabbi Zera, which boat you happen to find yourself on at the moment. Okay, so now the Gemara says, Rabbi Zera, my time alo amar kiraba, why doesn't Rabbi Zera subscribe to Rabba's logic? So says the Gemara, amar lecha, mechitzos lahavriach mayim asuyos, because Rabbi Zera will turn back to Rabba and say that the function of the walls of a boat is not to act as a mechitza, but rather it's simply meant to keep out the water, right? So if the walls of the boat are simply meant to keep out the water, you can't turn around and say, oh, I'm going to use that as a mechitza to enable me to walk throughout the boat. V'rabba my time alo amar ki Rabbi Zera. Why does Rabba not subscribe to Rabbi Zera's logic? So says the Gemara, b'mahaleches kulei amalu plige ki plige v'sha'amda. Says the Gemara that when the boat is moving, everyone agrees that you're allowed to walk up and down the entire boat. That's not a question. The machlokes in the Mishnah was regarding a stationary boat. If the boat is stationary, so now all of a sudden this issue becomes problematic, because again, remember, the only reason why Rabbi Zera allows you to walk up and down the boat is because boats typically throw you all over the place, where you can't be stationary even if you wanted to. But if the boat itself is stationary, so then it sounds like Rabbi Zera would presumably disagree and not not allow you to walk more than four amos. So the Gemara now tries to prove which of these is correct. Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, Masnisa Nami Deka Devim Ahalachas Lo Plig. If you look at our Mishnah, it's clear from the Mishnah that that in the case of a boat that's moving, everyone agrees that you're allowed to walk up and down the boat. How do we see that? Mimai, Mi Dekatane, Maise Shabao, Mi Palm de Seirin, Vihifliga, Svinasam Bayam, Rabban Gamliel, Rabbi Elazar, Ben Azariah, Holchu Eskula, Rabbi Yehoshua, Rabbi Akiva, Lo Zazu, Me Arba Amos, Sheratsu, Lahachmir Al Atzman, Iomar Pishlama, Bemahalechas Lo Pliga, Haino Dekatane, Ratsu, Dilma Amda, Ella Iomar Plige, Hairatsu, Lahachmir Isuru. The Gemara points out that linguistically, textually from our Mishnah, this explanation that everyone agrees when the boat is moving that you're allowed to walk up and down the boat, that seems to be the correct interpretation of the Mishnah. How do you see that from the Mishnah? Because the Mishnah was giving this story of these Tanaim who were coming back from a certain city, the city Palm de Seirin. They were coming back on the boat on Shabbos, and they had a machlokes. There seemed to be a debate about whether they were allowed to walk up and down the boat. So the Mishnah said back on Daf Mem Aleph that Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, they walked up and down the boat, but Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yoshua, they wanted to be machmir on themselves, and they stayed put within their four amos. They would not walk up and down the boat. So the Gemara says, if you're going to tell me that the Mishnah is talking about a case of a boat that's moving, then I understand why the Mishnah uses that expression sheratzu lahachmir al atzman, meaning the only reason why Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yehoshua decided to restrict their movement to those four amos and not walk up and down the boat, it was a chumrah. They didn't really need to do that, because as we pointed out already, when boats are moving, you're allowed to walk up and down the boat, but they were concerned that maybe the boat would come to rest, maybe the boat would become stationary at some point, so they wanted to be machmir. However, if the Mishnah was really discussing a case of a boat that was already stationary, so then the expression sheratzu lahachmir doesn't make sense. Ratzu lahachmir sounds like it's just a chumrah. They were being machmir to not walk around. But if the boat was stationary, then it should be usher for them to walk around, not just a chumrah. So the fact that the Mishnah uses the expression sheratzu lahachmir, that seems to imply that the case of the Mishnah is talking about a boat which is moving, and everyone agrees when the boat is moving that me'ikara din, you're allowed to walk around the boat. It was just a chumrah that they decided not to do so. Then the Gemara says, Amar Rav Ashi masnisa nami deka dekatani sfina dumya de dir visar ma dir visar dekviye af sfina nami dekviye. The Gemara has another textual point or textual proof in the Mishnah. The Mishnah lumps together three different scenarios of a person who's walking around an area. One is a boat, and the other two are the cases that we touched on briefly before, which is like an animal pen or a stable or something like that. So those types of locations are obviously by definition, you know, stationary, right? The animal pen or stable is not moving anywhere. So just as those are stationary locations, so too the case of the boat in the Mishnah must also be referring to a stationary location. So Amar Le Rav Acha Berei Derava Le Rav Ashi Hilchasa K'Rabban Gamliel B'Sfina. Comes the Gemara and says that we paskin like Rabban Gamliel when it comes to a boat, namely that a person is allowed to walk up and down the entire boat on Shabbos. So the Gemara asks, Hilchasa Michlal Deflige. The fact that the Gemara even had to go out of its way and say, by the way, we paskin like Rabban Gamliel regarding a boat, that would imply that there are those who disagree. But in other words, we already proved on the bottom of the previous daf that everyone agrees that we paskin like Rabban Gamliel regarding a boat. So how come all of a sudden the Gemara woke up here and said, oh, by the way, we paskin like him regarding a boat? We know that already. The Gemara told that to us already. So the Gemara says, no. In Vahasanya Chananya Omer, Koloso Hayom Yashu Vidanu Bidvar Halacha, Emesh Echriya Achiyaba Halacha Karabban Gamliel Besfina, Bahalacha Karabi Akiva Vidir Visahar. The Gemara says it wasn't as conclusive or as clear cut as we thought initially. The Gemara says that there was some kind of a debate, there was some kind of contention regarding whether we really paskin like Rabbi Gamliel even for a boat. But ultimately, the rabbis decided that we do in fact paskin like him. But again, it took them a little while to get there. So that's why the Gemara had to spell out and specify that by a boat, we do in fact paskin like Rabbi Gamliel. Okay. The Gemara now raises an interesting question here. Boy Rav Chananya, yesh tchumin l'mal me'asara, o ein tchumin l'mal me'asara? The Gemara wants to know, when it comes to the isser of tchum, the notion that I can't go outside beyond the tchum, does that concept pertain, does that apply when I'm above 10 tfachim in the air? So what exactly is the Gemara asking here? So the Gemara explains. So the Gemara says, the Gemara says, Amud Gavoa, Asar of Arachav Arba, Loti Bailacha, the Aras Michtahi. If I'm talking about a sturdy, stable platform that's 10 by 4 tfachim, and it happens to be, you know, high in the air, happens to be 10 tfachim in the air, that's obvious that the din of Tchum applies there because it's sturdy ground, it's stable ground. So just because the platform happens to be elevated, that doesn't mean anything. Then, in other words, for sure, the Isra of Tchumin is going to apply there. Kiti Bailacha, Ba'amud Gavoa, Asar of Eno Rachav Arba, Inami de Ka'azel Bekfitza, Lish Mishnah Acharina B'Sfina Mai. The Gemara presents three variations of this question. So one variation is, I have a 10 tefach high platform, but it's not 4 tefachim wide. So typically, when you want to have an area qualify as a Rishus HaYachid, it needs to be 10 by 4 tefachim. So let's say I have a platform that's 10 by 3 tefachim, so the assumption is that such a platform is really not so sturdy, so the Gemara wants to know, is there an Isser of Tchum on such a platform? That's the first variation of the question. The second variation of the question is, what if a person is jumping? What if a person is jumping outside of the Tchum, but they're jumping above 10 tefachim in the air? And the third variation is the issue that we were talking a lot about before, which is regarding a boat. Let's say I'm traveling on a boat on Shabbos, and the boat is in a deep part of the water that's more than 10 tefachim. So again, that would be another application of this question. Would there be an Isser of Tchumen in these cases? So what's the answer to this question? Amar of Hoshea, Tashma, Maisa Shabal Mipal Nisarin of Hefliga Sfinas and Bayam Vechule. I Amar Pishlama Yesh Tchumen, Mishum Hachiratu, Ela I Amar Ein Tchumen, Amai Ratsu. The Gemara tries to bring another proof from that same story we quoted earlier in the Mishnah. Again, remember, Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Akiva, the Mishnah told us, they wanted to be machmir on themselves and restrict their movement to only 4 amos on the boat. So the Gemara says, that only makes sense if you subscribe to the principle of Tchumen, even when you're above 10 Tfachim. So that's why they wanted to be machmir, because they felt that there was an Isser of Tchumen, even though they were far into the ocean and the water was much deeper than 10 Tfachim. They felt that they wanted to be machmir because they thought that there was a din of Tchumen even above 10 Tfachim. But the Gemara says, but if you deny that principle, if you think that there's no Tchum when it's beyond 10 Tfachim, so then why would Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Akiva restrict their movement? So the Gemara says, no, that's not necessarily a proof. You could argue, as we'll see in the Gemara in a second again, that maybe they were traveling in shallow, murky waters. So if you're traveling in shallow waters where the water itself is less than 10 tefachim deep, so then everyone agrees that you're not allowed to move more than 4 amos. But it could very well be that had they been in deeper waters, they would have allowed themselves to move more than 4 amos. Okay. Then the Gemara says, Tashma, Pamachas lo nichnasu lenamel ad shecha shecha. I amar pishlama yesh tchumin shapir, ela I amar ein tchumin kilo hayinu besocha tchum mayhave. So the Gemara has a similar question on that story from the Mishnah as well. In the Mishnah, back on Mem Aleph, it told us that these Tanaim, they did not enter into the port, into the dock, until after Shabbos began. And they asked Rabbi Gamliel, they asked him, are we allowed to disembark from the boat on Shabbos? And as we'll see in the Gemara a little bit later on, he said to them, yes, it's mutter for you to disembark, but only because you already entered into the Tchum Shabbos before Shabbos started. You were already within 2,000, within 2,000 amos of the Tchum Shabbos when Shabbos began. But the question is, why did they even need to ask Rabbi Gamliel in the first place, right? If you think that there's no din of Tchum, if they were in the water that was deep, so then it shouldn't matter if they crossed that 2,000 amma barrier when Shabbos started. They should be allowed to disembark from the boat regardless, because if you deny the concept of tchumen lamalame asara, so then it should be mutter anyway. So again, the Gemara says, no, I'm a rava b'mahalachas b'rakak. Again, we're talking about a scenario where they were traveling in shallow waters. So because they were in shallow waters that were less than 10 tefachim, in theory, there would have been an isser of tchum. There would have been a problem to disembark from the boat, if not for the fact that they had already crossed beyond the Tchum once Shabbos had begun. Okay, then the Gemara tries again. The Gemara says, Tashma, Hani Shev Shmaita de Is Amran Bitsafra Bishabsa Kame de Rav Chista Besura, Bahadepanya Bishabsa Kame de Rav Bifum Padisa. Manam Rinu, Lavi Leo Amrinu, Alma in Tchumil Amalame Asara. So the Gemara has a very, very strange proof to try and prove whether there's a concept of Tchumil Amalame Asara. The Gemara says that one time there were these 7 teachings that were set over in front of Rav Chista on Shabbos morning in the city of Surah, and they were set over in front of Rava on that same afternoon in the city of Pumpadisa. The question is, how did this person who delivered these teachings get from Surah to Pumpadisa? It's a very, very far journey, and it's beyond the Tchum, so how exactly were they allowed to travel there? So the Gemara suggests, maybe one can argue, that Eliyahu HaNavi was the one who delivered these statements, and the fact that Eliyahu HaNavi can somehow can fly beyond the Tchum, can go above 10 Tfachim in the air, that would lead us to believe that there is no Isser of Tchumen when you're above 10 Tfachim, because if there was, how would Eliyahu HaNavi be allowed to travel from Surah to Pumpadisa, which is beyond the Tchum, and deliver these 7 teachings? So the Gemara says, no, that's not a proof. Lo, Dilma Yosef Shidam Rinu. Maybe it wasn't Eliyahu HaNavi who delivered these teachings. It was Yosef the demon. Who exactly is Yosef the demon? The Gemara in Gittin and Psachim talks about it, and Rashi says that, demons, don't keep Shabbos. They don't observe Halacha. So it could very well be that it was a demon who delivered the messages, and it wasn't Eliyahu HaNavi at all. Okay. Now the Gemara says, Tashma, Hareini Nazir Biyom Sheben David Ba Mutter Lishtos Yain B'Shabbosos Uviyamim Tovim V'Aser Lishtos Yain Kol Yemos Hachol Iyamar Pishlama Yesh Tchumen Hainu D'Vishabbosos Uviyamim Tovim Mutter Ela Iyamar Ein Tchumen B'Shabbosos Uviyamim Tovim Amai Mutter. The Gemara tries with another very, very odd proof. Let's say a person makes the following declaration. A person wants to become a Nazir, but they don't just make it as a normal statement of Nazirus. They say, I want to be a Nazir on the day that Mashiach comes. So the Gemara has a very, very odd halacha here. The Gemara says that such a person is permitted to drink wine on Shabbos and Yantif, but not during the week. So what's the issue exactly? Why should we distinguish? So the Gemara says, in other words, if you're going to tell me that there's an Isser of Tchumen, Lamala Me'asara, that Eliyahu Hanavi essentially cannot come on Shabbos or Yantif, right? And therefore you're not allowed, and that's why you're allowed to drink wine on Shabbos or Yantif, because your neder of Nazirus cannot be fulfilled on Shabbos or Yantif, because there's no way for Mashiach to come, on Shabbos or Yantif, because it's above the Tchum, so then that makes sense. But if you're going to deny the concept of Tchum and Lamala Me'asar, if you're going to tell me that there is no Isser of Tchum when you're above 10 Tfachim, so then why can't Mashiach come on Shabbos and Yantif? And consequently, it should be usher for a person who made such a neder of Nazirus to drink wine even on Shabbos and Yantif. So says the Gemara, no. The Gemara says, Shaini Hasam, the Amar Kra, Hine Anochi Sholeach Lachem Is Eliyahu Hanavi, for Haloasa Eliyahu Me'as. Well, a famous pasuk from the very end of Navi, from Sefer Malachi, the pasuk says that Eliyahu Hanavi is going to be sent as the harbinger of the Geula. He's going to be sent before Mashiach comes. So the fact that Eliyahu Hanavi is not here yet obviously means that Mashiach cannot come either. So if Eliyahu Hanavi isn't here right now, that means Mashiach can't come, on the next day either. So the fact that Eliyahu is not here is an indication that Mashiach is not coming on Shabbos or Yantif. So the Gemara says, but hang on one second. Ihachi bechol kol yom v'yom anami lishtered dehalo asa Eliyahu me'asma. But okay, but by that logic, I should be allowed to drink wine if I made such a neder during the week as well, because I could argue, well, look, Eliyahu Hanavi hasn't come yet either, even on the weekday. So the Gemara says, no. Ela amrina levezen agadol. So no, you could argue that maybe Eliyahu Hanavi did come and he's hanging out, he's hanging out by the Sanhedrin and the Bezdin HaGadol. We just don't know that he's here yet. So the Gemara says, okay, Hachanami Lema LeBezdin HaGadol. So why not say that same thing when it comes to Shabbos and Yantif? Maybe Eliyahu came yesterday on Friday and he's just hanging out with the Sanhedrin, and we just don't know that he's here yet. The Gemara says, no. Kvar Muftach Lahen LeYisrael She'en Eliyahu Ba Lo Ba'arvei Shabbosos V'Lo Ba'arvei Yamim Tovim Bnei HaTorah. The Gemara says, we have a tradition that Eliyahu Hanavi will not come on Erev Shabbos or Erev Yantif. If why not? Because it's too much of a hassle. Why is it too much of a hassle? Because people are busy preparing for Shabbos and Yantif. They have to stop what they're doing to go out and greet Eliyahu. It's going to be too much of a hassle. So the Gemara says that we already have a tradition. We already know that Eliyahu Hanavi cannot come on Shabbos on Erev Shabbos and Erev Yantif. So the Gemara says, well, hang on one second. Kasalka daitach mi de Eliyahu lo asa Mashiach nami lo asay b'mali Shabbos alishterei. So the Gemara says, well, hang on one second. You're telling me that Eliyahu Hanavi can't come on an Erev Shabbos or Erev Yantif because it's too much of a hassle. So by that logic, so Mashiach himself should presumably also not be allowed to come on an Erev Shabbos and an Erev Yantif because it's too much of a hassle. But by that logic, then on a Friday, it should also be mutter for such a person to drink wine, again, because Mashiach is not coming on an Erev Shabbos either, as the Gemara just suggested. So even if I made a neder and I said, I'm going to become a Nazir when Mashiach comes, I should still be allowed to drink wine on a Friday. The Gemara says, no, it's not true. Eliyahu lo asei Mashiach asei dechevan do asei Mashiach kol avadim him Israel. The Gemara says that's not true, that really it's only Eliyahu Hanavi himself who won't come on Erev Shabbos or Erev Yantif, but Mashiach will. What's the difference? Why will Mashiach come on an Erev Shabbos but Eliyahu won't? The Gemara says because once Mashiach comes, then all the other nations will become enslaved to us, they'll become servants to us, and once that happens, they're going to prepare Shabbos for us. So we're not going to need to be busy running around and getting ready for Shabbos or Yantif. Everyone else in the world will take care of that, and we can go out and greet Mashiach. But by Eliyahu, that's not going to happen yet. So by Eliyahu, it's going to be too much of a hassle if he comes on Erev Shabbos or Erev Yantif. So now the Gemara says, okay, v'chad Shabbos lishterei. Well, why not say that it's mutter to drink wine on a Sunday? Because again, if you just told me, we just established that he's not coming on... That Eliyahu is not going to come on a Shabbos either. So then on Sunday, presumably Mashiach won't come on a Sunday because Eliyahu didn't come the day before. So then it should be mutter to drink wine on a Sunday. The Gemara says, "Ah, liv shot mina de ain tchumen de iesh tchumen bechad b'shabbos lishterei de lo asa Eliyahu b'shabbos." So the fact that the Gemara is even suggesting that that it's a problem to drink wine on Sunday if you made such a neder would lead us to believe that there is no iser of tchumen when you're above 10 tfachim, because that means that Eliyahu can travel in the air above the above the tchum and come on Shabbos, because if you thought that he could not do that, so then Eliyahu couldn't come on Shabbos. That means the Mashiach can't come on a Sunday, and that means that it should be mutter for such a person to drink wine on a Sunday. The Gemara says, no, it's not true. The Gemara says, no, that this Tana was besuffic. He wasn't sure what the halacha is. He didn't know if there's an Isser of Tchum when you're above 10 Tfachim, and therefore he had to be Machmir in both directions. He had to be Machmir and say, just in case there is an Isser of Tchum, so just in case there is no Isser of Tchum, so we have to forbid you from drinking wine on a Sunday. But again, the Tana wasn't convinced one way or another. So now the Gemara just has kind of an overarching question on this whole topic. When exactly did the person make this theoretical nether? Again, remember, the reason why we got into this whole discussion is because we're trying to prove whether there's an Isser of Tchumen when you're above 10 Tfachim, and this proof that the Gemara is attempting to bring is from Eliyahu HaNavi HaMashiach. But the problem is, when exactly did this guy make the nether to say, I'm going to become a Nazir when Mashiach comes? If he made a nether on a regular weekday, so then how exactly can Shabbos come and undermine that nether? Let's say, for example, a person makes a nether on a Tuesday. He says, I'm going to become a Nazir when Mashiach comes. So we say that the Isser Naziris goes into effect immediately, because in theory, Mashiach has the potential to come during the week, right? As we pointed out. But, so in other words, but again, the Gemara earlier told us that on Shabbos and Yontif, you should be allowed to drink wine, because since Eliyahu can't come on Erev Shabbos and Erev Yontif, so Mashiach can't come on Shabbos or Yontif. But the problem is, once the Naziris has gone into effect already 5 days earlier, how could you just undermine that Naziris on Shabbos? It doesn't make sense. Once the Naziris goes into effect, it's going to be everlasting until something else undoes the Naziris. So the Gemara says, you're right. The Gemara says, you're right. The case was where it was Shabbos or Yontif itself. You made the neder on Shabbos and Yontif, and then what happened was is that on Shabbos and Yontif itself, you're allowed to drink wine, and then only after Shabbos and Yontif is over, that's when the restriction against drinking wine will go into effect. Okay. Then the Mishnah told us, "Pamachas lo nichnasu l'namel." The Mishnah said that one time, the various Tanaim who were on the boat, they did not arrive at the port when Shabbos began, and they had to ask Rabban Gamliel whether they were permitted to disembark from the boat on Shabbos, and he told them that you are, since you got to within 2,000 amos of the shore before Shabbos began. So the Gemara says, "Tana shvoferes ha'yisalol l'Rabban Gamliel shayamabit v'tzofe ba'alpayim amah bi'abasha uchenegda alpayim bayam." So the Gemara says that Rabban Gamliel had this special tube, some kind of a mechanism that he would use, some kind of a navigation instrument that he would use to be able to figure out exactly where those 2,000 amos were in the ocean and the corresponding 2,000 amos by land. He was able to precisely measure where exactly that tchum began and ended. So he was able to tell these other tanaim that, yeah, we entered within the tchum Shabbos before Shabbos began, and that's why we're allowed to disembark from the boat. Then the Gemara says, Harutza leida kama onko shogai, maybe shvoferes umabet ba viodea kama onko shogai. The Gemara says, if a person wants to know how deep a valley is, so again, he should bring one of these tools, one of these measuring instruments, and again, he'll be able to use that to figure out what the depth of the valley is. Then the Gemara says, "V'harutz elida kama govo shel dekel, modid komaso v'tzilo v'tzel komaso v'yada kama gova shel dekel." The person wants to know how high a palm tree is, but you know, let's say he doesn't want to actually climb the tree. So what he should do is he should measure his own height and the height of his shadow, and then the height of the shadow of the palm tree, and then he'll do some kind of a proportional math, and then he'll figure out, you know, he'll figure out the ratios, and then he'll know how tall the palm tree is. Harotza shelo tishre chayera b'tzel kever, noitz kan of a dalit shows bayom, v'yira lehichon silo nota, mashpia v'ole, mashpia v'yorid. Let's say a person wants to make sure that no wild animals start, coming near a person's grave. So what he should do is that at the fourth hour of the day, at about 10 o'clock in the morning, he should take a bunch of reeds and insert them in the ground, and he should see which way the shadow is tilting, and then he should set up those reeds around the grave to make sure that all the shade is pushed away from the grave, because if it's only going to be sunny over the grave, it's going to be too hot there, and no animals are going to want to be in the heat. They're going to want to drift over to the shade. Okay, the Gemara now says, Nechemya berei derev chanilai, meshach deshmaita v'nafak chutz latchum. Nechemya, one time, was so engrossed in his learning that he accidentally walked outside of the Tchum Shabbos. So, Amar le Rav Chista le Rav Nachman, Nechemya tal mincha shari b'tzar. Rav Chista said to Rav Nachman that your student Nechemya, he's in pain. He's stuck outside of the Tchum on Shabbos. So Amar Lo, he said, don't worry about it. Let's make a human partition, a human mechitza, and will allow him to come back inside to within the tchum. So the Gemara says, Yosef Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Achori de Rava, Yosef Rava Kamei de Rav Nachman, Amar le Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak le Rava, Mai Kami Boya le Rav Chista. Why exactly did Rav Chista not come up with this suggestion? Why did he need Rav Nachman to input this idea that, oh, by the way, let's just get some people to form a human mechitza? Why couldn't Rav Chista figure that out on his own? So Ilema Bidemalu Gavre Askinan, the Kami Boya le Hilchasa Kiraban Gamliel, O Ein Halacha Kiraban Gamliel, O Dilma Bidelo Malu Gavre Askinan, the Kami Boya le Halacha Kiraban Eliezer, O Ein Halacha Kiraban Eliezer. The Gemara presents two possible variations of this question. So one is that, let's say I have a bunch of people who are permitted to walk beyond the Tchum. Why are they allowed to walk beyond the Tchum? Because they created their own Eruv Tchumen beforehand. They're allowed to walk up to 2,000 Amos beyond the Tchum. So these people, so I'm going to say, okay, let's gather a bunch of people who are allowed to go out of the Tchum. We'll make a human partition, a human chain, and we'll let Nehemiah come back inside to within the Tchum. So on the one hand, that could be the suffix, that could be the issue in the Gemara, whether we paskin like Rabban Gamliel, namely, whether we're going to insist that we restrict your movement, or whether we allow you to actually come back inside. That was a whole issue we spoke about back on the previous Amud. Or maybe no. Maybe the real issue here is that the people that we're talking about are really not allowed to leave the Tchum. However, this is kind of a quirk of a case, according to Rebbe Eliezer. Rebbe Eliezer happens to hold that if a person leaves the Tchum, but they are less than two Amos out of the Tchum, so then he holds that there is a scenario where they are allowed to come back in. So therefore, the Gemara says this was the suffix of Rav Chista. In other words, the Gemara is trying to figure out what exactly he was besuffic about. Was he besuffic about whether we paskin like Rebbe Gamliel in the first place? Namely, whether once you left the Tchum, are we going to restrict your movement, or are we going to let you walk back in? Or is the suffix within the Shita of Rebbe Eliezer, whether we say that if a person only went within two Amos out of the Tchum, do we allow them back in or not? So the Gemara explains. The Gemara says, Pshita b'delo malu gavrei askin. It's obvious that we're talking about a case of people who are not allowed to leave the Tchum, and the cases where Nehemiah simply went less than two Amos out of the Tchum. The Isal Kadaitach B'demalu Gavri Askinan Maiti Boile Ha'amar Rav Halacha Kerabban Gamliel B'dir V'saharu Svina. So, in other words, it can't be the first variation of the question, because we already proved on the previous daf that everyone paskins, in other words, sorry, not everyone, but that Rav assumes that we paskin like Rabban Gamliel for these types of cases, namely, that Rabban Gamliel does not restrict your movement, he allows you to walk all the way up and down in the boat, or in the pen, or in the stable, or whatever the case is. So the Gemara says, you're right. Therefore, the suffix was the second variation, the second part of the Gemara's suffix, which is whether a person who left the Tchum, but they were less than two Amos beyond the Tchum, do we allow them to come back in? Which again is a question about whether we paskin like Rebbe Eliezer or not. And the Gemara says, how do we know that? The Gemara says that the expression that the Amoraim were using to say, let's bring him back inside, they use the word yikanes, let him come back inside, implying that there was no real mechitza involved here. The issue was, he only went less than two Amos beyond the Tchum, and now the question was, are we going to allow him to come back in, to within the Tchum or not? So the Gemara now says, Isivir Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak l'Rava, Nafal dofna, lo yamid ba'adam behema v'chelem, v'lo yiskof es hamita lifros aleha sadin, l'fi she'en osin o'al aray b'tchila b'yante v'en tzarech lomar b'shabes. The Gemara now brings up a topic that we spoke a lot about back in Masechah Shabbos, where let's say, for example, a person has a wall of a sukkah, and the wall of a sukkah collapsed. So now the question is, he wants to fix that. He wants to rectify that so he can eat in a sukkah, so he can stay in the sukkah, but it's also yantif, or it's Shabbos Chol HaMoed, let's say, right? So the Gemara says, the halacha is that a person is not permitted to take either a person or an animal or a kli and use that as the wall of a sukkah, nor are you allowed to take a bed and turn the bed upright and cover it with sheets and use that as the wall of your sukkah either. Why not? What's the issue with that exactly? So the Gemara says, because that's a violation of what's called making an ohel arai. You're basically creating a temporary structure, a temporary ohel, and that is a problem on Yontif, and certainly also a problem on Shabbos. So Amar Le, Ad Amar Li Meha, Ana Aminu Lecha Meha, Osa Adam Es Chaveru Dofen Kedei Sheyochal V'Yishte V'Yashin V'Yiskof Es Amita V'Yifros Aleha Sadan Kedei Shelo Tipo Chama Al Hamesi Al HaUchlin Kashin HaHadadeh. So now the Gemara, so now Rava quotes an opposing Braisa that seems to say the exact opposite of what we just said. Namely, this Braisa says that a person is permitted to make the wall of a sukkah out of a person, let's say, in order to enable a person to eat inside of the sukkah. You could take a bed and turn it upright so that this way you could, and spread sheets over it, so that this way you can make sure that your sukkah is valid, so it could protect the food from rotting if it's too hot outside, or if, let's say, a person died in the sukkah, and you want to cover the sukkah over to prevent the body from rotting. So this braisa says that it's totally mutter. So now the Gemara says we seem to have a contradiction within these two braisas. The first braisa says you're not allowed to do any of this on Shabbos. In other words, I can't take a person or an animal or a kli or a bed or whatever it is and make it into the wall of a sukkah. That I can't do. But the second braisa sounds like I'm allowed to do all of those things. So which one is it? Says the Gemara, Lokashi, Ha Rabbi Eliezer, Ha Rabbanan, Disnan, Pekaka Chalon, Rabbi Eliezer, Omer, Bizman, Shekashur, Vesalwi, Pokekinbo, Vim Lav, Ain Pokekinbo, Vachachamim, Omer, Benkach, Uvinkach, Pokekinbo. So this is a famous machlokas which we mentioned a few times in Masechta Shabbos regarding opening and closing window shutters on Shabbos. According to Rabbi Eliezer, the only time that you're allowed to open and close a window shutter is basically if it's suspended. In other words, if essentially what you're doing is, in other words, if it's basically already there, if you're just kind of pushing out and in something which is already attached to the window before, but if that wasn't attached, if there was nothing attached to the window beforehand, so then Rebbe Eliezer says that you're not allowed to do that because you're basically adding on to or extending a pre-existing ohel, whereas the Chachamim say no, that you can open a window shutter regardless of whether it was attached or whether it was suspended from the window. Everyone agrees that you're not allowed to lichadchila. You cannot initially make a new ohel. Everyone says that that's a problem both on Yontif and on Shabbos. Lo nechluku al lahosef. She Rabbi Eliezer omer ein mosifin biyontif ein tzarech lomer b'Shabbos. Vachachamim omer mosifin b'Shabbos ein tzarech lomer biyontif. The Gemara says the issue here, the machlokas, is about extending a pre-existing ohel. According to Rabbi Eliezer, you're never allowed to do that, neither on Shabbos nor on Yontif. Whereas according to the Chachamim, you're allowed to extend a pre-existing ohel both on Shabbos and on Yontif. So the Gemara says el lo kashia hakir Rabbi Meir hakir Rabbi Yehuda desanya asal levehema dofenless. Dofen l'sukkah, Rabbi Meir posel, Rabbi Yehuda machshir. Rabbi Meir deka pasel hasam alma lo mechitzahi hacha sharei de la midika avid. Rabbi Yehuda deka machshir hasam alma mechitzahi hacha asar. So the Gemara says that really the way to resolve the contradiction between these two braisos is to say as follows: that one is reflecting Rabbi Yehuda's opinion and one is reflecting Rabbi Meir. Because according to Rabbi Meir, the Gemara says that if I use an animal as a mechitza, that's going to be a problem. Whereas according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's going to be okay. What's the point of contention here? According to Rabbi Meir, using an animal is not valid for the wall of a sukkah. So if it's not valid for the wall of a sukkah, then it's also not a valid mechitza. So if I try to take an animal and make it the wall of my sukkah on Shabbos or Yontif, so in other words, I haven't really done anything according to Rabbi Meir. I haven't solved the problem. But on the other hand, I also haven't violated Shabbos because I never made an effective mechitza. Whereas according to Rabbi Yehuda, taking an animal is in fact an effective mechitza, which means that if I build it on Shabbos, it's going to pose a problem. So the Gemara asks, v'sispera emar d'sham. The Gemara says, perhaps Rabbi Meir only says that it's going to be a pasul wall of a sukkah and that I'm putter for building such a wall when it's an animal. But perhaps when it comes to people or utensils, perhaps Rabbi Meir will agree with Rabbi Huda that I would not be allowed to do that on Shabbos because it does constitute a valid wall. V'su Rabbi Meir aliba deman. I aliba de Rabbi Eliezer lahosif nami yaser. Ela aliba de Rabbanan emar damri Rabbanan lahosif. Lechadchilam yomar. The Gemara wants to know further. Which Shita is Rabbi Meir siding with? If he holds like Rabbi Eliezer, so we already proved in the previous Gemara that not only does Rabbi Eliezer forbid you from creating an ohel on Shabbos and Yontif, he holds you're not even allowed to extend a pre-existing ohel. And if he holds like the Rabbanan, so the only heter that we know of according to the Rabbanan is to extend a pre-existing ohel, but not to create a new one. So what right do we have to now say that Rabbi Meir allows you to take an animal and create a new wool out of that? No one would sanction, even in other words, even the Rabbanan, who allow you to extend a pre-existing ohel, would never sanction creating a new one lechadchila. So says the Gemara, you're right. The Gemara says, Ela hava harabanan, v'chelem achelem lokashi, hava dofen shlishis, hava dofen revias, dekanami, dekatoni, nafal dofen shmamina. The Gemara says, perhaps the case that we're dealing with here is that both braisos reflect the opinion of the Rabbanan, and the Gemara says, it just depends which wall of the sukkah we're dealing with. We know that me'ikar adin, a sukkah really only requires three walls. So if we're talking about a case where, let's say you had three walls and one of them collapsed. So then fixing that wall is going to be very significant because you're making your sukkah kosher again. But let's say you had four walls and one of them collapsed, then the fact that you're fixing that wall doesn't mean anything because your sukkah is kosher regardless. Then the Gemara says, Ela adam ha'adam kasha. What about the contradiction between the two brises regarding whether I can use a person as a wall of my sukkah? So the Gemara says, no, that's also not a problem. Adam ha'adam nami lo kasha. Kan ladas, kan shalom midas. It depends. If the people are cognizant of the fact that they're being used as the mechitza, if the people know they're being used as a mechitza, then it's a problem. If they don't know that, then it's okay. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? V'had Rabbi Nechemya b'rei de Rabbi Chanilai l'das hava. But wasn't the case of Rabbi Nechemya where they were trying to get him back to within the confines of the tchum, wasn't that a case where all the people knew what they were doing? So the Gemara says, no, it's not true. Shalom das hava. They had no idea what they were doing. Then the Gemara says, okay, but Rav Chista miyol l'das hava. But Rav Chista knew what he was doing because Rav Chista was the one who suggested this whole idea of using people to get him back into the tchum. The Gemara says, no, Rav Chista shalom and amin hava. Rav Chista was not one of the people who was being used as part of the human partition. Okay, then the Gemara says, Hanu b'nei ganana da'a ilu maya b'mechitza shal b'nei adam, nagdinu Shmuel. Amar imamru shalom idas, yomru ladas. There were these people who were at a wedding on Shabbos, and they wanted to bring water through a human mechitza, through a human partition, and Shmuel gave them all malchus. Shmuel said, just because the rabbis allow you to do this when it's unintentional, when the people are not aware that they're being used as a human mechitza, that does not give you the right to do this when it's being done intentionally. Then the Gemara says, "Han hu zike da havashad in baristik of the mechoza." There were these flasks that were lying on the floor of the street of mechoza. Bahade da asa Rava mipirkei alinu nihale. So as Rava was coming back from giving his shir, there were many people who were accompanying him, and a bunch of his attendants, his servants, picked up the flasks and they carried them back to his house because there were so many people walking next to Rava. They basically acted as a human mechitza. L'shab sa'achariti boy alinu. The following Shabbos, they wanted to do the same thing. They wanted to pick up all the flasks and bring them back home, but Rava forbade them from doing so because he said, at this point, people are going to realize that I want the flasks, and then they're going to be here intentionally, and that's a problem. And then finally, the Gemara says, Levi a'ilu le'tivna, ze'iri aspasta, Rav Simi barchi amaya. So all these Amorim brought different things into the tchum using a human partition, right? They brought in straw and animal fodder and water and things of that nature. They brought them in using a human partition.